thanks and kudos to all the musicians and everything that you guys have accomplished this past year. Way to go. There have been, though, some other folks this weekend who have competed at the, we would call it in some sports, the semi-state level. In swimming, they call it, they do it a little bit different. But they competed. I thought it would be good. I didn't warn him, but I'm going to have Dad this time stand up. Dad's one of the coaches and the people that work with this. And I don't know if Gabe's here, but I know Gabe was involved in that, and your two boys. Just explain a little bit what happened this weekend to us, and we would just want to celebrate.
Yeah, I think Keith's right. There's a lot goes into this. That's a pretty high level. So in Indiana, we don't have divisional sports like a lot of other areas, so it gets pretty aggressive pretty quickly. Swimming is a very arduous and tough sport. It takes a lot of preparation. So guys like Caleb and Ethan and Gabe have put a lot into this. So Gabe, swimming at this high level, got his personal best and did much better than his previous times, and that's what it's really about. You're looking at guys that look like Jerry Treadway, that my little boys are against and the Gabe's are against. And so it's quite a high level. So Ethan has worked all year for a 500 freestyle event. His personal best last year was 5 minutes and 4 seconds for 500 yards. That's clicking along pretty good. And so to improve from that area is quite a challenge. And so this year he got down to 4:49.
Wow.
So that puts him at 35th place in the entire state. So that's quite an accomplishment. Unfortunately, because we don't have the divisions and because of other nuances for how you proceed to state, that brings him a little bit shy to move on next weekend for state. But we're really proud. It's a little bit of a disappointment that we can't move on, but he has given everything that he could, and I've given everything. As a coach, we work together super well. It's been super fun, so I'm real proud of him. So Caleb has worked very hard for 100 breaststroke, and that's competitive as well. And so in the last week, he's developed a hamstring issue, and that's caused some issues for him. But he overcame those and didn't get his best time, but got a time sufficient enough to move him on to state. So Caleb is 17th right now in the state, and next Friday he'll have a prelim for state, and then if we get top 16, then he'll move on to a competition on Saturday.
All right.
Those of you who have done any kind of music or sports or art and have poured time and time into that, you understand this is not something that just happens. They are committed to it long term, and we're very proud of all of you guys. And I was watching, of course I was watching last night, the wrestling state finals on television, Indiana high school boys, and you could just see it too, all those guys. They always give the list of all that they've done, when they started, when they were like, you know, 1 year old and all this stuff, and the time and the effort, and then you see the emotion in the final two when one wins and one doesn't win, and it just, your heart just goes, wow, and they lay it all on the mat, and we're so glad for our guys, gals that do that all the time. Good example of hard work and what it can do. So we want to praise the Lord for that. I thought it'd be worth mentioning as well for you all to be knowledgeable of and to be in prayer about it for ourselves, is that quite a bit's been happening around the country, spiritually speaking. I don't know if you've been hearing or reading much about what's been going on at Asbury College, which is a Methodist college, and God is moving there. There has been a revival taking place on the campus. Without getting in all the details, because frankly, I don't know all the details myself. something that hasn't happened probably for generations is taking place there. And I also found out this week that the same thing, the bad report you heard at Cedarville, some of you may have heard some of the events that have taken place there. Maybe you don't even know what I'm talking about. There was an incident between two students that was unfortunate. But because of that, a great prayer meeting and spiritual revival has broken out at Cedarville University. And we're praising God for what he's doing. I believe this is the work of the Holy Spirit in the last days, and that we're seeing this happening more and more. Maybe it's happening and it doesn't always get reported, but when it happens on such a mass scale, even the media cannot ignore it for what is going on. And I would pray to God that we would see a revival in Kokomo. We could see a revival at Bible Baptist Church. Wouldn't that be awesome? So if you're willing to pray that and all that that means, you can join me in prayer and say, God, bring revival to us. I'd like Kokomo to be known for something other than just cars and parts and things like that. Wouldn't it be great to see a transformation of a country because of a people who by the mercy and grace of the Holy Spirit created revival? That is my prayer. Father in heaven, as we enter into your time, a time here where your word is preeminent and put forward, I pray that I would be out of the way and that you would be in the center. People, our brothers and sisters here and myself would see Christ. We'd see you in a better way and come away more knowledgeable, because to know you is to love you. And to know you better is to be able to serve you better. Pray that we would be revived, not just inspired. Well, pray for that, yes, but revival. We say the words, we've read about them, we hear about it, but God, help us to have the courage to really pray for that, that you would create revival in us. Use us to help change this city, not for our glory, but for the glory and the name and the proclamation of the one true God of heaven and earth, and the exaltation of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray this in his name. Amen. I'd ask you to go ahead and take your Bibles, if you have them with you, and open it up to Genesis. And while you're turning there, I wanted to quote one of the great theologians of our time, Yogi Berra. Yogi Berra, if you don't know, was a catcher for the New York Yankees, and he's known for saying some very interesting things in his career and his life. And one of the things he said I thought was appropriate for today, he said, you've got to be careful if you don't know where you're going, because you might not get there. Okay, that's what he's known for. I'll have to read it three times for you. We'll try it one more time. You've got to be careful if you don't know where you're going, because you might not get there. Just kind of chew through that over the week and what in the world? So I think his wisdom can be applied, though, today. We're starting a new mini-series just for several weeks on family. I don't know how long it'll last. As I've worked through it this morning, I realized this message probably is two or three parts, so that's probably what'll happen. And if God wants it that way, that's fine. But, you know, we can apply this to families. Families come in all sorts of sizes and shapes, and God's word really is the thing that has to guide us to where we need to go. Otherwise, we won't get there. We hope we're going to get there, but we won't arrive there. Interesting enough, if you're doing study of family in the text itself, in the Bible, there is no real biblical Hebrew word for the word family. Okay, now I know the translations, there might be some places where the word's there. But the word actually doesn't translate well, directly, I should say, into the English word family. I think the main Hebrew word that is used to express the concept of it, It's used quite a few times. Oftentimes, it could be used for a physical structure that has to do with just the house. Like if I were to drive out here or this building here, that would be considered to be the translation there, a house. And that's what you get in the New Testament as well. The word, the Greek word oikos, is house, having to do with a structure. But as you know, and I know, there's more to family than the mortars. In fact, that's really not the family. But in the scriptures, it's described as a house or a clan or a tribe, which is more now than just the structure, but it has to do with the people and the people living in a particular place. So we need to find out, what is this thing about family? What is a family? To best understand family, I think that we have to go back to the beginning. It's where the foundation is found. And so today is all about design and purpose. I don't think we're going to get through all of this today. It's not going to happen, so I'll cut off at a certain time. But if we want to understand family, we have to go back to the basic design and purpose of that family that's laid out in the scripture. And we're going to start with design. And for that, we have to look at Genesis chapters 1 and 2, just a few verses. Look, beginning in verse 126, this is the sixth day of creation, of course, as God's putting all this together and remaking this world. He says, and then God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness. And then in 127, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them. And then later in chapter 2, verse 18, the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make a helper fit for him. What I want you to look at here really is just the word God. God is the designer of the family. He is the one who is creates. He is the one who has made it. It wasn't just a whimsical thing from eternity past, the design here. It would be God as the one who made man and woman and all the children that followed. The Hebrew word that's used here for God is the most common one. In fact, it's used over 2,500 times just in the Old Testament. It's the word Elohim. You've probably heard that word before in your studies. It has to do with the all-powerful, almighty, sovereign, supreme Lord God of the universe. I mean, when you hear that, you want to stand back and get on your knees or something, right? Well, that's the idea here. He is the great God. Strangely enough, however, you don't catch this so much in the word, but in the way it's translated, you do pick it up. The word is actually in its plural form. Now, if I'm talking about myself, I would use pronouns that are singular, right? I, me, things like that. But here it's a little bit different. This word is actually put into the plural. So the designer and maker, in an expression, on an explanation of men and women and children, families, you couple that with the word us and ours, and you're starting to get something here that is unique, that is different than what you might normally think when you think about God. Anyway, what is this? Well, I want to pause here just for a moment to put a commercial in, if you don't mind. I want to announce to you something that I've been wanting to do for a long, long time, and I'm going to actually launch this thing, maybe even this week. As far as you know, by the time I get up here, oftentimes I have anywhere between 30 to 45 minutes to preach. Some people say I can preach as long as I want, and I appreciate you saying that. But I understand if you're like me, you can only handle so much for so long, even if the individual is good. And there's a lot of things that we'd like to dive into, and there's a lot of things we'd like to get into deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper. But time is always that thing, right? It just irritates. It's like, oh, I wish I had more time to develop this. Well, I think I've found a solution. So this is my announcement, the good news. I hope it'll be good news. This week, I'm hoping this week, I'm going to begin launching a podcast. And the podcast will have to do with Sunday's message of all the things I wanted to say. But more than that, it's going to come from all the conversations and questions that come even from all of you and my small group and some of the great comments they make, not just questions. Things that could be highlighted, things that could be, worked out a little bit more detail. when that, I'm committing myself, I have to, I was told by folks, you just got to do it. So by announcing it publicly here, I think I'm in a corner, right? So I'm going to do it. I don't know what it's going to be like, but with your prayer and patience, hopefully it'll develop into something good. And if nothing else, if you have insomnia, I'll have the cure. For all your small groups then, which is one of the reason, one of the things I like small groups to do is to discuss what's going on with the text and the message, and you have opportunity, or with your family around the dinner table. That's always a great time to talk about the message, not about the preacher, about the message. And if you have questions or comments or thoughts yourself, if you'll submit those to me by Monday morning, that would be tomorrow, by 8 a.m. I have to have it early. I can't be grabbing things later on in the day and later on Tuesday. It won't work. I mean, you can send them in. I probably won't have time to think through it and respond and add to it. So I will at least read it. I can't say I'm going to talk about everything somebody sends in, but I certainly would love to do that. Now, with that commercial sponsored by the Children's Ministry of Bible Baptist Church, we are back to our designer, God. The designer of God. When you speak about families, you speak about what is a family and what does it look like? And sociologists and family law, and I've got all that stuff. I'm not going to quote it to you. That'll be on the podcast. But we have this idea of what a family is, and they're not all bad necessarily, but we need to see what does God say a family is and what was the original design, and understand that we have to understand that it had a designer. So that's why this word Elohim is important. And theologians have kind of debated over the years, and they haven't come to a real good conclusion about exactly what that's all about. That could be on the podcast, by the way. But for example, one view is that this plural use of God is really God talking to himself and all the angels around him. There aren't three parts to God. There's just God and everyone else sitting around. That would be difficult, really, to defend in the text, just a normal reading of the text, since we see clearly here that angels are never a part of creating anything. So why would he make that mention there at all? So the angels are there to serve mankind. Also, mankind is never made in the image of angels. So, you know, we could, that's an easy one. You can just take that one and toss it. So there are several that come up. The best view, in my opinion, as I have studied it and heard it presented, is that it appears that this plural use of God, Elohim, the ending im is the plural. It's like an S for us, right? So the plural there, coupled with us and the word are, simply is an introductory idea that's going to be developed. It's not fully developed at all in Genesis, but it's going to be developed throughout the Bible of Trinitarianism, we call it. God being three in one. Now, you do know there are even some, quote, evangelicals do not hold to that. They would say, they would be called modalists is the word. There is just God and there is no three parts to God. But we believe the scriptures teach that God has revealed himself, and Christ even taught it as well, that there are three elements of one God, three co-equal, three co-eternal persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So this word, okay, it's kind of an introduction to that theology. It's not a complete comprehensive development of it, but I think here we get the idea that Israel's being taught early on all about God and who he is. So I know, why am I beating this up so much? You might say it. Thanks so much. That really blessed my heart. I think it's going to become significant when we understand the design of family. That's why I'm doing it. I just want you to know that. I told Dawn today, I thought maybe what I could do is bring out a pot with dirt in it and a shovel. I just want you to know, when you come here, the goal has always been that we're going to open up the Bible and dig into it. There are things that have to be presented clearly, I get it, but we like to dig if we can. Not every message is a dig deep message. Say that three times. But that's the desire. So if you want to know more about the Lord and the Bible, I think you've come to the right place. And it's not just here. Our Sunday school classes and small groups things provide those opportunities and Bible studies. Woo! You want to know more about Jesus? Come on in. We'd love to share and learn together. So back to, that was my second commercial by the youth department. Thank you. The word image is really used in this conjunction with the phrase after our likeness. So putting those together, the idea of this plurality of God, the manifestations three in one, Father, Son, Spirit, as will be developed. We also have this sense then there's an outward and an inward part of image. Image. So in some sense, we are visibly an image, a representation of God. But also from the inside, we are made in the image of God, speaking more to our thoughts and our actions that are seen. So the put those two together, and you have this likeness of God. It's interesting that the word image is rarely used in the Bible. I looked up several sources just to confirm, because when I first read through this, I said, what? It's only used 17 times. Surprised? And 10 of those times has to do with an idol or a picture of a man or some kind of physical image of a man. So that doesn't have anything to do at all with God. So now we've limited ourselves immediately down to just 7 times about image and the importance of image. She's 4 times in Genesis here, 3 referring in the passages we've just read here as well. So we have this idea of image. There is one more in Genesis 5 where Adam fathered a son after his image. So I've got to tell you up front, be honest, as an honest educator, hopefully, we don't have a whole lot of material to work with when it comes to this word image and what it's all about. So there are several views that seek to answer what it means for us to be in the image of God. And we only have 17 particular specific texts concerning that word. A few of the more reasonable views explain that the meaning that man has been given personality, free will, intelligence, like God. And I believe that's true, although I'm not sure it says that necessarily here, right here. But remember, I did say this is the springboard, the launching point of the development of the idea of who God is throughout the Bible. What we can see here, though, and what I think is a very strong understanding of image, since we're made in the image of God and families are made in the image of God, it's a very important connection here, is that we are representatives of God on earth. We are God's representatives. Now, when rulers wanted to image themselves, were made images of themselves, these images were viewed by the people as being that particular ruler. So an example of this comes from Daniel, of course, 3, where we have Nebuchadnezzar. This is following his dream, which is a whole interesting lesson in itself. But anyway, after that, what happened in chapters 1 and 2, it seems strange. He jumped right in chapter 3 and did this, and he makes a golden image of himself. You remember the story, right? And it's quite large. Some say it's about 90 feet. I'm not sure. Maybe 8 stories up in the air. Kind of narrow. Covered with gold. So this is the point, people, to who? To think about God? No, that was part of the problem. It was to think about him, Nebuchadnezzar. Now, I don't know what it would look like to have a 90-foot image of Pastor Dan right here. That'd be tough. There might be other uses for that, but that's for my podcast. So when Nebuchadnezzar said, what's the purpose of this? Well, when people come, right, they're going to go, and they're going to go, whoa, that's pretty big. That's way up there. That looks like our king. So they're thinking of Nebuchadnezzar, and they're going to look at it. They're going to say, man, that's awesome. Well, Nebuchadnezzar is awesome and mighty and powerful. That's what I think about. And gold plated? Oh, well, he should be worshipped. He's divine. That's what we should do. And of course, that's where Nebuchadnezzar got in trouble, putting himself up in front of God. He's not the first to do that. Lucifer did that. And now we have the devil, Satan, as he fell from heaven, wanting to take on the glory of God upon himself. Can you imagine being in his position to reflect the glory of the one true God? And it wasn't enough. He wanted it for himself. I'm not going to throw a stone at Lucifer for that, because I believe that's every man and woman's battle today. We struggle with that, taking glory for ourselves. So here we have, what does it mean to be in God's image? I think image in Genesis 1:2 really points to the truth that man specifically was made by God to represent him on earth. God himself. That was what it is all about. But there's purpose to image. There's a lot about image that we can get into. And we'll try to touch a little bit more as the weeks go on about what all that's about. But I want to say one thing about it as far as application goes for us this morning that I couldn't pass up. I thought this is significant, and maybe someone here needs to hear this, or maybe a lot of people need to hear this. You are made by God, the supreme maker, the supreme God of the universe, and he does not make junk. Maybe that's a good enough message for today. There's no junk here. God didn't mess up what he made Adam and Eve, going, oh man, well, that was a mess. All right, Jesus, you're gonna have to go down and help straighten this mess out because, wow, made a mistake. I don't know what's going on here. No, that wasn't it at all. When God created Adam, when God created Eve, when God created Adam, he said it is good. And when God created Eve, God and Adam said, whoa, that's good. So it was all good. There was nothing bad there. Yeah, you could have laughed. That's all right. I'm going to have applause and laughter and amens on my podcast, so it's going to be all right. Finally going to get it. Hallelujah. Woo! That's a good point, Pastor. Thank you, Sam. Our value comes from God. That's it. He formed you and me. He knew you when you were being formed in your mama's womb. And he loved you. You know that? Why is that not enough for us? I'm throwing myself in that pot too. Why is that not enough? Don't we get in trouble when we seek approval and love and everything else from something else? We're desperate for it, and God created it already. The design was made in the image that we would relate to him in love. In love. He said to Israel, I love you with an everlasting love. This is the nation who kept messing up. His commitment and faithfulness to them never changed, and it still hasn't changed. He loves them. You're not a mistake. You're not some cosmological accident. I don't care what the books might say in school. You are a beautiful design. You are infinitely valuable. And I know the feeling of feeling less than that. Happened as a teenager when you pour yourself into a sport or a band or whatever it was. For me, those were the two big things I was in. And things don't turn out the way you wanted them to. And you can be deceived thinking that somehow you failed or you're less than important. Because for a moment, for me, I shifted the value of who I was and what I could be to what I was doing rather than whose I was. It took so many of people like you all out here, my Sunday school teachers, my pastors, my youth leaders, my friends that loved Christ, and time to help mature me to understanding that my value, my love, came all from who I belong to, my Creator, who loved me and made me in His image. It's perfect. I know that sin has marred that, and we'll be able to walk through that in the weeks ahead. But the image is there. And God loves you extremely. So we're made by design in the image of God, meaning that we both are to reflect God. And we get back to, we think about families, because I talk about Adam and Eve and individuals. We're really talking about family groups as well. So families, and we're speaking about families, are made in the image of God. God is the one who created them. God is the one who put it together. We have a man and a woman that originally had been the first family, and together they produced children, of which we are their children down the line quite a bit. So we've come from them, and this was God's design. Now, both in Scripture and in our culture today, we understand there are many different kinds of families. As a result of the fall and sin and everything else, it's a reality. The Bible talks about and doesn't make it a negative statement about single parenting. That's the reality. That's a reality in Scripture. It's a reality today as a result of the fall. And we have all the different kinds of family. I looked on the sociology website, and they had, I don't know, it was a list about this long. I couldn't even understand some of the titles of the different families that they had. Some of them made sense, you know, like nuclear family. I remember reading nuclear family, I get that. Or single families or blended families, but there was a long list, and that's just the reality of what it is. But when it comes to the design of families originally, what God wants, it was a man and a woman together in a covenant with their Creator and loving and obeying Him. They produce and multiply and represent God through their family and children all over the world. Now, when sin came in the world, all this got messed up. But we're going to see, and this is the really exciting part. And I got so pumped up even late last night rereading some of this stuff. I don't know if I could ever express it. That's why writing and podcasting can be valuable. Is the love of God and the grace of God that in the midst of all the marness and of the image and the sin, He is still here to redeem and reclaim that image. And that's what coming to faith in Christ is all about. It is the beginning part. If any man be in Christ, he is back to Genesis 1. That's what the text says. If any man be in Christ, he is back to Genesis 1. What do you mean? He is a new creation. We don't view ourselves or think of ourselves like that at all. But that's what God thinks of us. That's how God views us. And may I say, in reality, in Christ, that's exactly what we are. We may not act that way, but that's who we are. So when we think about this image of Christ, we think about represent. That's why I think the representation view is the best view of all. The others are, there's merit to, you know, we have the personality of God, we have choice, we have there's good things there, but we are representatives of God, and in that representation, we are to reflect the characters of God, the character of God, all those things, His love, His grace, and His mercy. It goes on and on and on. The Apostle Paul then, now because of that, now that door gets kicked a little bit wider open and helps up, and we can look at Scripture and kind of say, okay, how does this worked out throughout the Bible? One of the great passages that I love comes from 2 Corinthians 5:20, that we are what? We are ambassadors for Christ. Amen? That's what we're called to be. Now, that's who we are. We are ambassadors for Christ. What is that? An ambassador is a representative of the king and or country that he was sent from. That's what he is. Do you see it? Now, that's on the other end of the Bible, and it's being developed. So Paul, in reading the Old Testament, picks up on that idea and affirms it and develops it, saying, hey, Christian, of all the things you are, guess what you are? You are a representative of God. You are an image of God. Now, he didn't use that word. He used the word that means that. You are an ambassador. You are to represent the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, his characters, his qualities, his vision, his mission, his heart, his actions, his mind, his words. You are a representative of that. Everything that you do, everything that I do, we reflect and represent the image. You remember those commercials between Coke and Pepsi? They were kind of funny, right? Where I don't remember who was who. All I remember, there was the Coke, and the guy was always trying to sneak drinking a Pepsi because that's really what he loved. And they were going back and forth with those commercials about I'm Coke, I'm Pepsi. It wouldn't look too good for the guy who's delivering Coke and supposed to be a representative of the company walking around with a Pepsi. Right? Right? Okay, I mean, that's just human. Well, what about in the spiritual realm? We are, according to Paul, according to God in 1, Genesis 1, we are made in the image of God. We are representatives of God. We are not dead idols. We are living creations, new creations in Christ Jesus. And we represent God to each other and the world. Do we carry around a Pepsi with us? By that, I don't mean Pepsi. You know what I'm saying. That's where it could get confusing for them. That's where they get frustrated with church. People see image bearers reflecting something that doesn't look very good. Tastes terrible. It's lost its fizz. It tastes like syrup and it's warm. Blah! And we wonder why they don't want to be a part. Image bearing. We're God's representatives. We are his people on earth. So how well do you represent the king? How well do I represent our king? How well do I represent his kingdom and the values of that kingdom? Does the little kingdom that God has given to me called my home, my family, my children, and then the extended family here, this is a family. Amen. This is a great family. Do we represent the kingdom well? I mean, when we think about family, that's going to become one of the purposes, as we'll get into that next week, because we're running out of time even today. And I just got one word in. It's going to be a long podcast. Amen. Thank you. I know it's 11:20. We'll still beat the Presbyterians. It's all right. To lunch. I got a little more color I want to throw on this word image, if you don't mind. Several things. I don't know if I'll get to all of them. One, it comes from Exodus 25 to 31. That's just the description of the tabernacle. Now, you know where I'm going with this. I think some of you probably already. Think about it. In Exodus 25 to 31, what's God doing? He's given to them a way to build this structure in detail of how they could communicate and have this great loving relationship with God where they could be made whole with him and with one another, and the community, may I say the family, can live in peace and bring peace to others. And we have this very specific design. So the word there, though, is an image. The word used in that text throughout those is the word, I think comes up 2 or 3 times, is the word pattern. And it says, you remember the phrase? According to the pattern. What's he saying? I have a very specific way that this tabernacle is to be designed. I don't want you to have a creative moment and decide that, I'm going to have 12 pegs instead of 10 or whatever. You know, I'm just giving you an example. There's a way to do this, and I want you to follow this blueprint. But beyond the blueprint, beyond the pattern, I want you to understand that there's something even deeper going on that's more colorful. What we have here is that within the temple are so many elements and items all over the place that represent God or something about Him. You think about it. Holiness of God. There's a veil there. Separates the unholy from the holy. You come across this without being right? Good luck. That's why they put ropes on the priests with bells and things so that when, if one of them ever were to go in there, not prepared in their heart to worship the Lord and still got struck down, they could drag the body out and bury it. All right, so you've got to be careful about just thinking, oh, it's just about the design. It's about, no, it's always about the designer. It's about God. It speaks about His holiness. How about His justice? How about that altar? Oh, that might seem like an ugly thing. My friend, that is a representation of the mercy and grace of God, who through sacrifice will make a way for you to be right with Him. So there's all these things in the temple, or the tabernacle, excuse me, that image and show of things about God, His love, His mercy, His forgiveness. And through that, we have deeper fellowship with God, the very thing that was lost in the garden through sin. So as an image bearer, let me connect it now. You and I are a pattern for other people to see about what God is like. You think about the applications of this. This would be an awesome discussion at small group tonight. How do we pattern God so well in our lives that just by people being around us, by how we talk, how we think, how we interact, in all times, especially when things are terrible in our lives or the situation of the day is bad, how does that person who says, I'm a Christian, respond? You see, the pattern has been made in us through the image. We have been given all we need in Christ Jesus. We already are ambassadors for God. I don't know what kind of ambassador we are, but we are an ambassador. So what's the pattern? Did we alter the pattern? Did we do something to change it? So here we have, when we're thinking about families now, God has put together a pattern and has weaved it together so that when that pattern is followed, guess what happens? That family is healthy. Now there is the issue of sin that every family faces. I know that. It's a tough one, isn't it? Because I don't know about you, but sometimes I don't act like God too good. You know what I'm saying? Anybody with me? Yeah, and I don't always present it. I mean, I don't want you to be paranoid for this point forward, but I can actually look at you and smile at me thinking, oh my goodness, would you just shut up? No, I don't think that. I'm just making a point. Of course, I don't think that about any of you ever. But the point is valid. Do we pattern after the Lord Jesus Christ? Are we imaging Him well? And so when we think about this in regards to our family, we have to understand at the basis, the foundation, before we can move on and even talk about family, is we have to go to the designer Himself. What was the design? Well, the design was God. He not only made us, but He made us like Him, to be like Him. Sin came into the world and messed that up, right? Boom. And because of that, now the war and the struggle is on, but I got to tell you, the pattern is still the same. God has provided it in His Word, and by following this pattern, this image, we can reclaim and redeem our families no matter how far they may have gone off the grid. God can do it. God can do it. I want you to get out of this as I close, though, that this image bearing, being an image bearer as a family member and part of a family, even family itself, is not just any representation of God. Let me explain. It's not that as families we sit here and we follow, I'm going to do this, 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 this. I'm going to be a good boy. I'm going to be a good girl. I'm going to follow the law. I'm going to do this, and I'm not going to get any demerits and all those things and whatever, wherever your life is at now. But I'm going to do a good thing and miss the whole point of this. It's not about the law. The law is good, and yes, we will follow the law and those things. What this is all about, it's about the creature getting in right relationship with the Creator. It's about relationship. This whole thing, you can make it cold as could be. And that's what religion could do sometimes. It can become cold. It's about knowing God and loving God and growing in grace and knowledge of God, not just being smarter about theology and be able to exegete all these passages. It's about knowing our Creator. And by knowing Him and growing in knowledge of Him, we can love Him even more. And through the relationship, we seek to please, not through fear of the law, but through love of the Father. That's what this is about. The pattern, the image. It's about God. It's about God's children. And families who can begin there, understanding the pattern, the image, and who you are in Christ, that's the best foundation to build on. From there, we're going to be all right in all the storms, because there's plenty of them in family life. There's plenty of them in church life and community life. I have to throw just one more quick thing. Otherwise, my podcast is 2 hours long. I can't do that. I think maybe we would do well to understand and absorb the perfect example of image bearing, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. Colossians 1:15, Paul writes this, He, being Christ, is the image. Did you catch that? The image of the invisible God. You want to know about God? Watch Jesus. You want to know how God would react when people accuse Him and beat Him and smack Him and all these other things? Watch Jesus. You know how to respond when things are joyful? Watch Jesus. You know how to respond when things are scary? Watch Jesus. He's the image. And so now it's becoming more colorful even more, this whole idea of image. We are not just creatures that have been duplicated. Okay, now as robots, I want you to walk around. No, we have been carved and created and molded out of love. And He loved us even before we came out of our mothers. And when we were born, He loves us and He still loves us. And He calls us and woos us to Himself. And He says, I love you with an everlasting love. And I want you to know me. And by knowing me and loving me, you will experience that which was lost in the garden. Perfect peace. Love. But image has purpose. We're not made just to exist, to make people look at us and say, isn't he a nice guy? There's a purpose with the image of God that we've been made in. It is a fantastic story. But you're only going to get it next week at this time. Father in heaven, as we bow our hearts to you this morning, I pray that anything silly or stupid that I may have said that could distract people will be removed. Help them to realize and to understand it's all about you and your great love and mercy and how you showed that in your creation by forming us. And when you look at us with love. Yes, You hold us accountable. Yes, you discipline us because you love us. But that love never fades. Unlike myself and all the rest of us, where we can act like we love, you are love. So for me and others, where we have changed or altered the pattern by our own choice, this morning, now, I pray that each one of us would honestly cry out to God and say, Lord, help me through your word, through your spirit, redeem and reclaim the image that you've made me in, that I may show the world by my love, by my words, by my deeds, by my priorities, your priorities, Lord. And in that, people will know that you are God. For this is how the world can know that you are there, by the love we have one for another. And that begins with a love for you. Thank you for the great image, God Himself, the Lord Jesus Christ. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, if there's anyone here this morning that has not made or ever made a personal heart commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ, I would simply offer you this good news. That the purpose that God sent the Lord Jesus to come was to redeem you and me and reclaim our souls that have been condemned because of our sin. The sin separates us from God. But Christ died for our sins to make the payment, a payment once for all. No need for a tabernacle anymore. We have a Savior who has ripped that temple curtain in two and provided access to God straight through him. But you can't do it on your own. It's by faith, that simple trust, childlike trust in believing in God. Christ, the Lord Jesus, died on the cross for your sins and mine and rose again. And you simply cry out to God with a repentant heart, recognizing your sin and crying out for his salvation. For God loved the world that he gave you and me, Jesus. Whoever believes in him won't perish, but have everlasting life. Will you trust in him? And Lord, now as we close our time, hear our heart prayers. Help us to walk out of here with a better understanding of what image is and a better call to reflect your image in this world. In Jesus' name, amen.